You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live from the 2015 National Rural and Small Town Mission Conference of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in Kansas City. And it is time to study God's Word. It's time to study the daily New Testament reading. Joining me at the table here today, the Reverend Patrick Niles from Trinity Lutheran Church in Hilbert, Wisconsin. Good morning, Pastor Niles.
Good morning, Andy.
Good to have you as our guest this morning. Looking forward to studying God's Word here at the National Rural and Small Town Mission Conference. Pastor Niles, tell us a little bit about your congregation.
We're a small rural congregation nestled into the hills of Wisconsin and farmland, dairyland up there. It's a congregation of about 500 people. We have a small school that we operate also. Very loving congregation, very generous congregation that really puts forward first its best foot in trying to proclaim the Word of God in the midst of God's people, no matter where they may be. And so I've been there since January, still learning the ropes, still learning the genealogies, still doing all of that. But it's been a great time the last 11 months. So.
What brings you to the National Rural and Small Town Mission Conference?
Well, I had the blessing of being here last year, and it was one of the most phenomenal conferences I've ever attended, mostly just because it's important that we continue to teach and continue to tell people and provide resources for people and let them know that there are pastors that are called to preach God's word to the people that they're called to serve. And it doesn't matter if you're in Kansas City, it doesn't matter if you're in Zapp, North Dakota, or Hilbert, Wisconsin, or technically our congregation is in the township of Rantoul, which is even smaller than Hilbert, but nonetheless, it's right there. It's within 5 miles of Hilbert. We have like three different addresses we go by. But it doesn't matter the size or the scope of the congregation. God's word needs to be proclaimed to God's people. Sinners need to be called to repentance, and salvation needs to be proclaimed to the poor. And I hope that's what our church body is about. And so this conference is something that's really easy to get behind.
Well, very good. Thanks be to God for the ministry there at Trinity in Rantoul, Wisconsin.
Andy, can I stop you real quick?
Sure.
My seventh grade religion students would be really mad if I didn't give them a shout out over the broadcast. Is that all right?
Absolutely.
So seventh graders, get to work, listen to Mr. Monfrey, listen to your teachers, but at least I mentioned you on the radio, so you can take comfort in that. So
how many seventh? Do you have a pretty good size class? Small class?
No, it's combined classrooms. Mm-hmm. So my seventh grade religion class is four. I also teach fifth and sixth grade religion. So yeah, I mentioned you guys too. and we've got about, I think we got six or seven in that class.
Are they listening this morning, Ben?
I was told on good authority that the sixth through eighth grade, or the sixth and seventh graders were listening. I don't know if the younger classes are listening or not.
Very good. Well, good morning to all the students this morning as well, studying God's Word there. All right. We are, speaking of studying God's Word, we're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 23. You've got a big text today, Pastor, to study.
I want to thank you for giving me a short, simple, easy section of Scripture to run through. So
it wasn't my doing. That's just what came up in the treasury of daily prayer for today, the daily New Testament reading. And, man, well, what do you want us to know about this text before we dig in?
Well, first off, I think it's important that we remember that context is everything when mm-hmm. we're walking through Scripture, especially when we're walking through the Gospels. Mm-hmm. You have to realize that everything in the Gospels that you read, especially when you get it in sections in the lectionary, everything you read is predicated on the stuff before it. And so this section of Scripture is difficult. It's dense. It's harsh. It's thick with Old Testament imagery, and the words of Jesus just aren't easy to hear. If there's a section that can make you start feeling sorry for the Pharisees, this is the section of Scripture that would do it. The previous two chapters in Matthew, Jesus is telling parables about the kingdom of God, and these are usually directly aimed at the Pharisees and chief priests to critique the way that they see the kingdom of God and then how the kingdom of God actually is. And he uses stories in the Pharisees chapter before this. Actually, it clicks in their mind, and they're like, oh yeah, he's talking about us. And they get kind of deeply offended about that. And then directly before our section for today, Jesus is kind of confronted with just three ridiculous attacks by the Pharisees. They come at him with silly questions that they try to trip him up. Jesus, of course, navigates his way through those. He's the Son of God. He can do those things. And then so we get to the beginning of chapter 23, where Jesus basically just says, come on, guys. He publicly critiques. He turns to the crowds that are following him, and he begins to, in the third person, publicly critique the Pharisees right in front of the Pharisees. It'd be kind of like if I turned to the people sitting here watching us. Okay, there's no one watching us. But if there were people here watching us, if I turned and then start talking about Andy, the Pharisees were right there hearing what Jesus had to say. And then in our verse for today, in chapter 13, or in verse 13, I mean, sorry, he turns directly to the Pharisees and kind of really critiques them. Mm-hmm. The springboard for our entire text is actually verse 12, where Jesus says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. We just need to keep that in the back of our mind as we approach the text for today.
All right, very good. We're going to take a look at this text, and we'll open the listener lines as well today. 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. That's toll-free in North America or in the St. Louis area, 314-821-0850. Or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We are studying God's Word with the Reverend Pastor Niles from Trinity Lutheran Church in Rantoul, Wisconsin. Let's take a look at, did I get it right?
Yeah, you got it right.
All right. Matthew chapter 23, beginning at verse 13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, for you neither enter yourselves nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte. And when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Man, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, he says. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites.
Yeah.
That's a warning, huh?
It's big words from Jesus here. I mean, the word woe is full of Old Testament imagery. Mm-hmm. The prophets use woe for the people of God all the time, and it's always when they're about to be taken over because they didn't do what was right in the sight of the Lord, right? They followed false idols. They didn't fulfill the commands of God. The prophets come and say, woe to you. There is exact condemnation coming towards you right now because of what you've done. It's used in Amos 5. He uses it 6 times. He uses it 3 times in Amos 5. Isaiah uses it 6 times in Isaiah 5. And then Micah's full of woe as well. And then you brought up another word too, hypocrites. That's huge, not just for these verses here, but going through the rest of the pericope. And it's important to see that Jesus takes on the different forms of hypocrisy of the Pharisees in this section. He doesn't just harp on them for the same thing throughout, 26 verses. Here, each time, he's carefully crafted, and he mm-hmm. takes on a certain aspect of their hypocrisy.
You neither enter yourselves or allow those who to enter to go in. You shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. Neither you go in nor do you allow others who would go in to go in.
Right. Notice here, it's not the normal definition of hypocrisy that you think of that Jesus is using here. Hypocrisy literally means to wear a mask. A hypocrite is someone who wears a mask, an actor in a play, if you will. Mm. And here, Jesus is not criticizing their insincerity. He's not criticizing a double standard, because the Pharisees even hold themselves to the standard that they subject other people to. But here, Jesus is saying, look, you get it wrong. The fact that you go out and you make proselytes, you make converts of mm-hmm. people is laudable, but then you send them the exact opposite way they're supposed to go. And thus you make them twice the child of hell that you are, right? Those are pretty firm words from Jesus there. I don't know what I would have done if I was a Pharisee sitting and hearing those words of Jesus, but I got to say that I would have either been really, really mad, or I would have been really, really depressed, one or the other.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
or anything else about verses 13 through 15 before we go on to the next section?
Just that, as you'll see it as we go in, springboard into the next sections, is that the life of the Pharisees flies in the face of everything, every single word that Jesus has proclaimed in all of the gospel to this point. The welcoming of children, to the latest preaching of humility. Jesus says, no, you need to be humble. You need to realize that you have grace because of God, not mm-hmm. because of who you are or what you do.
Verse 16, woe to you blind guides who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing, but if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing, but if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So, whoever swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it, and whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it, and whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Blind guides this time. Last time, hypocrites Now it's blind guides.
Well, you actually get a threefold condemnation here. And he says blind guides, and then he says blind fools, and then he says blind men. And this is actually an intentional progression here where Jesus is saying, okay, you blind guides, you have the right information, and you know what you're supposed to do, but you just don't. And you lead people down the wrong path. And then next he says you blind fools, meaning, no, you don't even have the ability to comprehend the right information to give to people. Hmm. And then blind men, you don't even have the ability to get the information that you need. There's this progression of blindness that you see in Jesus' words here. And it's particularly condemning to the Pharisees, especially when you look at the prophecies of Isaiah. And you see that one of the things that the Messiah is supposed to do is restore sight to the blind, right? And here is Jesus, the Messiah, but then also the Pharisees who think they're God's chosen people awaiting the Messiah, and yet he's calling them blind. The Pharisees would have taken immense offense at this.
What are the Pharisees teaching? If anyone swears by the temple, it's nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. What are these examples that Jesus is using here? He talks about the temple, but that if anyone swears by the temple, it's nothing. But if they swear by the gold of the temple, it's something. Same thing. If anybody swears by the altar, it's nothing. But if he swears by the gift that is on the altar, then it's something. He's bound to his oath.
Jesus is actually using a pretty complex form of logic here. He's taking on the fact that the Pharisees swear, or they take oaths by different things in the temple, by the sacrifices that are made, by the things on the altar and whatnot. And the reason the Pharisees did that is because they did that because they did not want to take an oath against the name of the Lord, and they didn't want to break the second commandment. And so Jesus takes it and he kind of dissects that behavior, and he says, look, okay, you're swearing by the altar, but the altar's in the temple. And God dwells in the temple, and God makes everything in the temple holy by his presence being there. And so if you swear by anything in the temple, you're still swearing by the name of God. You hypocrites, right? I mean, this is what he's going on here. And it's really just a really interesting logic. And it's also a logic that's used by the prophets of the Old Testament, especially when they come in and they say, you know, woe to you, Babylon. And the Israelites are like, all right, yeah. Woe to you, Ephraim. All right, yeah. Woe to you, Jerusalem. Whoa, wait a minute here. You know, it kind of takes them by surprise. And Jesus is using that kind of compound logic to kind of disarm the Pharisees.
The last one, whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. I've started to say who would swear by heaven, but I guess we even hear that today, don't we?
Right. Well, and here you even have Jesus actually making, in my eyes, in some of the commentaries I read, you see Jesus making the comparison between the temple and heaven on earth, and the fact that the one who sits on the throne is the Lamb, and Jesus is there, right there for them in the temple, and they're blaspheming.
Anything else up through verse 22, Pastor?
I think that's about it through verse 22. You're gonna see a pretty straightforward turn in the next few verses. The first part, Jesus says, Jesus is dealing with the actions of the Pharisees, and the next section you're going to see him get into the actual faith and the theology of the Pharisees a little bit more.
Now, what questions would your seventh graders have on this text, you think? They could call it. They could email a question this morning.
They would probably say, Pastor Niles, so when you told us woe for not doing our homework, this is what you... No, I'm just kidding. No.
All right, Pastor Niles' class. Let's see. It's KFUO at KFUO.org is the email address if you have a question on the text today. Or any listener, if you have a question on the text. We are studying Matthew chapter 23 today, verses 13 through 39 with Pastor Niles from Trinity Lutheran Church in Rantoul, Wisconsin. Let's see. Shall we go on to 23?
Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
All right. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel.
I gotta laugh at this. I mean, it really, it's just, Jesus just doesn't let him up. I mean, he just takes the baseball bat and keeps hitting him over the head with it. Once again, you get hypocrites once again, but once again, Jesus is using a different kind of hypocrisy this time. He's talking about the acts of personal and corporate piety that the Jews had at that time, the different sacrifices, the different traditions, mm-hmm. which are all good in their place. But they were making these little things like tithing of herbs and possessions and putting it on the same level as the care for the poor, being faithful in all of the words of Scripture, mm-hmm. and carrying out the gospel proclamation in their midst. And it was really... it would have been really, really hard for the Pharisees to hear this because they've staked their life on this. And just the line there, you strain out the gnat out of the cup, but yet you're horking down on the camel over here.
Eating, right? A whole camel.
Right. And here you get two unclean objects, right, in the eyes of the Jews. They were unclean. The Jews would not have eaten either one of them. And you're worried about the little gnat in your cup, but yet you're eating the camel over here. It's kind of another version of Jesus's how dare you take the speck out of your own eye, or take the speck out of your brother's eye and still have the plank in yours, right? And so, and I don't know if the disciples would have been laughing about this when they heard this, or if it was so stern from Jesus that they would have been like, whoa, easy there, right? But strong words from Jesus here.
All right, we are, let's see, where are we in the text? We're at verse 24, and then we've got 25 through 39 coming up here. We still got quite a bit of text to cover, but we need to take a break. So let's take a quick break, and then when we come back from the break, we'll take a look at verses 25 and following. We are studying God's Word today with Pastor Niles from Trinity Lutheran Church in Rantoul, Wisconsin. We're in Matthew chapter 23. Give us a call or an email. The number's pretty easy here, 1-800-730-2727, 314-821-0850, or KFUO at KFUO.org.
As we age, our needs change, but there's no one-size-fits-all solution. That's why Lutheran Senior Services offers everything from low-income housing to senior living communities that provide all levels of care, to in-home services, to hospice. Our mission of older adults living life to the fullest comes from John 10, verse 10, where Jesus says he came so that we might live life in abundance, now and into eternity. Improving the lives of seniors wherever they call home. LSSLiving.org.
Papua New Guinea, or PNG as it's often called, is a beautiful island located north of Australia, where the seas teem with tropical fish and wild parrots and cockatoos soar through the treetops. But one thing that's lacking in this island paradise is the Word of God, translated into a language that children can easily read and understand. Your Lutheran Day School or Sunday School can help provide Bible storybooks to teach PNG children about Jesus. Learn more at lhfmissions.org.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, I'm Joni Harwell. Worldwide KFUO is listener-supported, and you, the listener, are our funding providers. One of the best ways to help is by becoming a day sponsor. Pick an available date to mark a special event, or simply to thank our Lord for His many blessings. You'll find details at KFUO.org. Then click on Support Us, or call Mary Schmidt, 314-996-1518. Help spread the gospel. Become a Worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live from the 2015 National Rural and Small Town Mission Conference and studying God's Word with the Reverend Patrick Niles from Trinity Lutheran Church in Rantoul, Wisconsin. We are in Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 through 39. That's a daily New Testament reading today. And if you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 1-800-730-2727 or 314-821-0850. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. All right, Pastor Niles, we ready to go on to verse 25 and following?
Let's go.
All right, here we go. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean and the inside of the cup and plate, that the outside also may be clean. Again, woe to you, he says.
Yes. And you get this whole section here, pretty much here through 36, where he just lays on the insults. Hypocrites, blind, whitewashed tombs, brood of vipers, sentenced to hell, guilty of the righteous blood of prophets and wise men and scribes, persecutors of God's messengers. You get this, and Jesus just keeps laying it on. And here you get him using kind of the analogy, the metaphor of the cup, which mm-hmm. he used in the previous verse, being the life of the Pharisees in general, right? You worry about the cleanliness of the outside, but all of the hatred and all the violence and greed and everything that's inside, you just let that go. You let that fester there. But yet you look pretty, so it's okay, you know. And Jesus says, no, that's not how it is.
You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and plate, that the outside also may be clean. How am I asking, maybe, I don't know, is this a good question to ask? How does one clean the inside of the cup and plate?
Well, by living the life of faith. I mean, repentance is huge. How do we clean ourselves? We clean ourselves by repenting, right? Mm-hmm. By receiving the forgiveness that Christ gives, the cleanliness that He gives, the robes of His righteousness. And here, all the Pharisees need to do is repent, and yet their arrogance and pride hold them away from that. I don't want to say too much more about that because we're going to get to that at the end, the end a little bit more.
Sure.
So, but yeah, that's kind of what Jesus is going on here.
All right. Should we go on to verse 27 then?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Similar to the previous paragraph, unclean on the inside, but looks nice on the outside.
Yeah, and even more severe here is Jesus' words to the Jews or the Pharisees, because there is nothing more unclean to a Jewish person than something that's dead, than to a dead body. And so here he's not just saying that you yourselves are dead. He's saying that you carry death inside of you. And you carry that uncleanness inside of you. And there's nothing that you're doing. You pretty yourself up, but you're still a rotting corpse underneath. And the Pharisees would have been pulling out their hair at this point. They would not have taken that lightly. So
this is like making something dead, taking something dead and trying to make it look pretty.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's 29.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, if we have lived in the days of our father and the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. Thus you witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up, then, the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you brood of vipers. How are you to escape being sentenced to hell? Therefore I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, so that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. All right, a little bit longer section here. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, again the same warning. For you build the tombs of prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous. And saying, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in the shedding the blood of the prophets.
Yeah, Jesus is laying out for them, and he's saying, look, guys, you know, you say that you wouldn't have done this back in the day, but you're doing the same thing now. You've done it for the entire history of being the people of God. And I think this is one of the places that I think is almost a direct springboard into Christianity today, because I think there's a lot of times where were in the church, we would say, you know, well, if we would have been alive 50-100 years ago, we wouldn't have got this part wrong. We wouldn't have got this section wrong. Right?
I wouldn't have been a Pharisee.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been a Pharisee.
I wouldn't have done what those Pharisees did.
but Jesus is saying to them, and he's saying to us, he's saying, yes, you would have, and you did, and you are. And I think it's interesting that he throws crucifixion in there as one of the things they do to the prophets and the people of God. Throughout Scripture, up until the point of Jesus, there's really only been one that was crucified, and that was himself. And so there's probably a little bit of prophecy going on here by Jesus. They wouldn't have picked up on it, but I think Jesus is laughing in his own mind, saying, I gotcha, you know, but nonetheless.
I thank God that I'm not like that Pharisee. I'm just a tax collector.
Right, right. And they, and there's some very interesting things that Jesus pulls out here. The fact that you make the tombs for the monuments and the prophets and you decorate them, and yet you fill the tombs. What sense does that make? You hypocrites, right? And then the direct mention of Zechariah, you're guilty of all of the blood from Abel, the very beginning of death in the world, to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, who you killed in the altar area of the sanctuary. And the Zechariah mention is kind of a curious one. There's a little bit of comment amongst academics of which Zechariah this is. It's most widely held that it's the account from 2 Chronicles 24, where Zechariah was killed in the courtyard of the temple. The interesting about this is Zechariah's dying words are, "May the Lord see this and avenge." Right. And here you have Jesus saying, hey, God's vengeance is going to be taken out on you, on this generation. And the blood of all the martyrs will be taken out on this generation. Probably refers to the destruction of the temple in 70. That would be my guess. Mm-hmm. And yet I want to get to the gospel too, so I don't want to say too much because we'll get it in the next section. The last thing, this is the woes that we've been going through. I mean, there's seven of them. Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, he woes to you. He said hypocrites, you know, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. But he uses another term here in verse 33 that we've seen in other parts of the Gospels.
You brood of vipers?
You serpents, you brood of vipers. How are you to escape being sentenced to hell? What? You serpents, you brood of vipers.
Well, of course, we want to run right away to the original serpent, right, that led Adam and Eve into the fall. But really, there's something more simple going on here. There was nothing more hated in the Palestinian countryside than a viper. They would actually sneak in under the beds of people because it was warm under there. Mm-hmm. And they would sneak in there. And then when kids would go jump into their beds, they were known to bite children, and the poisonous bite of a viper could kill a small child. Mm-hmm. And so when John the Baptist says this earlier, and when Jesus says this now, he's basically saying, you poisonous, filthy things that kill things that are littler and smaller than you. You prey on the weak, right? And it's not a good thing. The Old Testament prophets use this a little bit, not so much as they use the woe or the hypocrite word, kind of, but this is an imagery that is carried throughout the Old Testament.
So. Well, and the example that you pointed out, the viper sneaks in to a comfortable place.
Yes, yeah. What's more comfortable than church?
Yeah,
right. I mean, or than the temple, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, if you're keeping the law outwardly, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Right. And so these woes, they progress from the beginning of our reading for today to the end here, from being mundane practices of piety, like we talked about before, to an emphasis on the outright denial of the gospel, of the salvation that God is doing through the person and work of Jesus. Jesus goes from whacking them over the head with a ruler and saying, naughty Pharisees, to hitting them with a baseball bat and saying, you guys are just children of hell. You guys are instruments of Satan here in this place. And then Jesus takes this and then springboards into our next section. So,
the last section here, verses 37 through 39. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and those who are sent to it.
Yeah, a change in the object, too. He's no longer talking to the Pharisees exactly here. He's talking to everybody that's there. It goes from, woe to you Pharisees, to, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. And then I heard it. I was listening to a Christian radio broadcast, not a KFUO broadcast, a different Christian broadcast a while ago, and they were going through this section, and the person doing it wanted to talk about how Jesus was just being tongue-in-cheek with the Pharisees here and how he wasn't. You know, his words were hyperbolic, right? And when you get to this last section in 37 to 39 and you hear the emotion in his words, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. You know, I just don't understand how you can see Jesus not just pouring out his heart and soul here. And then the response to their unfaithfulness, see, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I kind of get this, the same gut-wrenching sadness and sorrow. It reminds me of Paul's words in Romans when Paul says, how I wish that I were cut off from salvation for the benefit of my Jewish brothers and sisters. You almost get that kind of same emotion here.
They're applauding you.
I know. How about that? How about that?
There's applause in the background.
And the more amazing thing is that Paul has a good model for these words in Romans, because that's precisely what Jesus is doing here, and it's precisely what Jesus does. Here's the gospel for you. Jesus is actually the one who is cut off for our sake. He's the one who, for the sake of us hypocrites, sinners, whitewashed tombs, us brood of vipers, he then becomes the one who is desolate. He becomes the one who takes the punishment that is coming to us, to the Pharisees. And how I wish you would gather with me, but you were not willing.
Well, Pastor Niles, I think you set a record this morning. You got a bunch of emails. All right.
I hope they're not from people I know.
I think your class. Alex asks, Pastor, how does that verse connect to my life? Let's see, Alex, we might need another email to make sure we know what verse you're looking at. Alex also asks, what does the swear in that verse mean? What is he, when he's talking about swearing?
Swearing there would be taking an oath against something that you would not be able to take an oath against. The Bible allows you to take oaths for things like court and that kind of thing. But in terms of personal life, Jesus says, don't swear, don't take an oath by anything. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And interesting enough, that part comes right before our section. That teaching comes before our section for today, too. Thanks, Alex.
All right. Michaela says, how can we apply this chapter to our lives today? Thanks for giving us a shout out. I did study for the test on Monday, and Mrs. Zitz?
Yes,
I thought it was cool that you that you gave us a shout out. So how do we apply this chapter to our lives today, Pastor?
Well, and I think your question before of how do we make ourselves clean on the inside and not just clean on the, not just pretty on the outside? I think that is the application here. That our life is a life of repentance, that we realize and acknowledge our sinfulness. We don't try to explain it away. We don't try to make excuses for ourselves. We fall at the foot of Jesus because it's there that we receive his good gifts and his blessing.
Amen. Ellie says, they're all happy there. Thanks for the shout out. Her question for you, is this going to be on the test?
Yes.
Might need a review, she said, and thanks, a good job. All right, and Faith says, thank you for the shout-out to the sixth grade. What would your reaction be if you were a Pharisee when Jesus talked to you?
I would either have been really angry or really sad. Judging by my temperament and my own pride, I probably would have been very, very angry at Jesus for the things that he said to me.
The last verse of the text today, verse 39, "For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'"
Yeah. Obviously an echo from earlier in chapter 21, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the cry of the people for the Messiah, right? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But here Jesus is not applying it to that. He's rather applying it to when he comes again. When the lips of those of faith will proclaim, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and those of the lips of those who are unfaithful or who do not have faith will be saying, "Oh, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Woe to us," so that the mountains would fall on top of us, right, and cover us. It's a good thing for believers, but for the Pharisees, Jesus, this is a strict warning to them. You know, watch out when I come again, because it's not going to be good.
Amen. Well, thanks to Alex and Michaela, Ellie and Faith for the emails this morning. It was great to get your questions and comments this morning. Pastor Niles, thanks so much for being our guest pastor, helping us study this text in Matthew chapter 23. It's been fun studying with you.
Yeah, thank you.
God's blessings on your time here at the conference. I hope that that you learn and get that networking in that you're hoping to get here at the Rural and Small Town Mission Conference. And God bless all the saints, all the teachers and students too back at Trinity in Rantoul, Wisconsin. Thanks for being our guest pastor.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Coming up in just a little bit, Creation Club with Pastor Wirth. Hope you can stick around for more His Time coming up right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.